This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Olivia Eberts. A note to listeners, this story discusses sexual assault, and it runs about 8 minutes. Earlier this month, a Bethel woman protested outside the Bethel courthouse. She says she was raped, and she wanted to draw attention to her claim of the criminal justice system's slow response to investigate her case. Days after that protest, the woman says she received a call from the district attorney's office saying her case would be looked into. KYUK's Greg Kim reports the protest has ignited community dialogue on how local rape cases are handled and if victims are receiving timely justice.
This is Juanita Nick.
I was assaulted and raped in Bethel, Alaska. I survived.
Nick recorded her story and sent it to KYUK.
My case wasn't handled appropriately by Bethel Police Department, and I don't ever want this kind of situation to ever happen to anyone.
Nick says her assault occurred the night of December 18th. Screenshots from her phone show she called Bethel Police the following morning at 3:41 a.m. She reported she had been raped. 5 hours passed, and police had yet to respond to her call, so she called again, and again at 10:06 a.m. Nick says Bethel police arrived at her home more than 7 hours after she first called. She said she was told the reason for the delay was because there hadn't been an officer available. Last October, Bethel Police Chief Richard Simmons stated his department is understaffed for the number of calls they receive. Chief Simmons declined to say what time an officer responded to Nick's call. He wrote in an email to KYUK that, quote, answering these questions, even if it is because of the victim's own comments, violates her right to privacy and impacts the impartiality of the trial. Nick doesn't buy the chief's explanation.
They are certainly hiding behind the guise of protecting the victim. They know the case was not handled appropriately.
Nick says Bethel police continued to delay their response to her sexual assault case. After her initial report, she started asking police for updates.
At one point when speaking to an officer, he asked me if my rape kit had been picked up by his department.
A rape kit or sexual assault kit is administered by a medical provider following a sexual assault to collect evidence from the victim, including DNA samples. Police generally then pick up the kit and submit it to a laboratory for analysis, which can then be used in court as evidence. Nearly 2 weeks after the assault, Nick contacted her medical provider and learned that her rape kit had not been picked up by police. She said her medical provider later informed her that Bethel police picked up her kit in late January, 34 days after it was administered. Asked to confirm when Bethel police submitted Nick's rape kit to a laboratory for processing, Chief Simmons declined to comment. State law requires law enforcement agencies to submit sexual assault kits to a crime lab within 30 days of collecting them. Nick said she believes her case may have been mishandled because relatives of her alleged rapist work in the Bethel Police Department. She said the officer who asked if his department had picked up her rape kit is related to her alleged rapist, and she's concerned that officer was in custody of her kit at some point. Simmons declined to say what policies Bethel Police have to prevent officers from working on cases that involve family members. Bethel City Manager Pete Williams said the delay in picking up Nick's sexual assault kit was due to lack of communication between Bethel Police and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, which administers the kits. He said Bethel's sexual assault response team met on Thursday last week, where members of the police department and YKHC exchanged phone numbers and email addresses, which he said neither party had before the meeting. Williams added that another issue seemed to be the handoff process between Bethel police officers, some of whom work a two-week-on, two-week-off schedule. He said it's easy for matters like Nick's rape kit to fall through the cracks when an officer leaves for a two-week break. Chief Simmons did not respond to KYUK's questions about Williams' comments, and YKHC declined to address them. Williams said as of last Friday, he had not asked the police chief about a possible delayed response to Nick's initial call to police or about her claims that relatives of her alleged rapist were involved in handling her case. At least one part of Nick's complaint, the delayed processing of rape kits, is a long-standing problem statewide. In 2016, an audit conducted by the governor's office and state troopers uncovered 3,800 rape kits across the state that were never submitted for processing. Alaska has since spent millions of dollars trying to get through the backlog, but over 800 kits remained unprocessed as of last October. Nick, an Alaska Native woman in Bethel, is part of a group that faces some of the highest rates of sexual violence in the nation. Western Alaska has twice as many felony sex offenses as the statewide average, and Alaskans as a whole report four times more sexual assaults than the national rate. Alaska Native females are disproportionately the victims of this violence, comprising 42% of the felony sex offense victims in the state, while making up less than 8% of the state's population. Sexual assaults reported to police seldom get referred to prosecutors, and even fewer lead to conviction. In Alaska, 9% of felony sex offenses reported to law enforcement in 2015 ended in a conviction. In Alaska, if victims of crime believe their case has been mishandled, they can contact the State Office of Victims' Rights. Director Taylor Winston said that her office can audit the work of police and prosecutors.
We can't force them to prosecute. They have full discretion. But we have had cases where we've gotten involved in and said, you know, here's what we've found as the viable evidence. And they've gone ahead and charged a case.
Juanita Nick said she didn't know about the Office of Victims' Rights until mid-March, but said she plans to reach out to them about her case. But before that, Nick took a different approach to ensuring her case received justice. On March 3rd, she said she called the district attorney's office and was told that Bethel police had not referred her case to the DA. So the next day, 75 days after she said she was sexually assaulted, she protested outside of the DA's office with a few friends and family members, all holding signs. A video captured the demands of the protesters.
Arrest the rapist on the loose!
Nick said she hoped to spur the criminal justice system to act on her case. She documented the protest on Facebook, writing that her alleged rapist continues to walk free and threaten her.
I live in fear each day as I go to the store or post office that my rapist will hurt me.
Her protest worked. 6 days after her demonstration, she says she received a call from the DA's office saying that her case would be looked into. Asked why Nick's case had been delayed in prosecution and when Bethel police had referred her case to the DA's office, a spokesperson for the Bethel district attorney declined to comment, saying they wanted to avoid tainting the investigation or affecting the jury pool. KYUK has not been able to confirm whether the DA's office has chosen to prosecute Nick's case. Nick's decision to go public with her case has invigorated community dialogue about how sexual assault cases are handled. Her Facebook post documenting her experience has been shared more than 300 times. In the last Bethel City Council meeting, two members of the public spoke during the public comment section, criticizing the criminal justice system's handling of her case.
Hello, world. This is 2021, and women are still fighting for their basic rights.
That's Bethel resident Ruth Miller from the last council meeting.
Indigenous women are fighting for freedoms from forced sexual acts. Wake up. This has to stop.
Nick's protest has also drawn some backlash from community members. She said she received Facebook messages saying, quote, every victim is not a victim, and quote, other things are going on in the world. But for Nick, her protest was about more than her own case.
Since the protest, I have had other victims reach out to me and share their story. I am standing up now because I believe victims should not be shamed. I believe all reported sexual assault should be investigated.
While Nick's case has received attention following her protest, she says she shouldn't have had to share her traumas publicly to move her case forward. But now that she has, she hopes her case moving ahead will push others towards justice as well. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kemp.
In City Council news, today's Bethel City Council meeting will be a busy one. The Council is looking at its most stacked agenda in months. The Council is expected to vote on a permanent addition to the City Code that would make it an offense to deface City of Bethel public property, carrying a possible $1,000 fine. The measure specifically condemns graffiti with demeaning slurs or sexual language. The city council is also looking at extending the city's COVID-19 emergency declaration and extending mask requirements and the moratorium on shutting off water deliveries to those who haven't been able to pay. And the final COVID-19 mandate, if passed, would exempt vaccinated passengers traveling to Bethel from testing. They're already exempt from quarantine. Non-vaccinated travelers to Bethel must present a negative COVID-19 test taken within 72 hours of arrival in town. Travelers who are not vaccinated and don't want a test must abide by strict social distancing for 14 days. The agenda also contains a budget amendment to keep funding the airport COVID testing incentive program for another month. The incentive program offers a $25 gift card for a local business to those who take a test at the airport or within 3 days of arrival. The program has been running since the summer. If approved, additional funding for the program would cost the city nearly $50,000 for the month of April, and the city council is exploring options to meet in person again. They're expected to vote on a resolution that would allow council members to convene in Bethel City Hall as long as numbers stay below the CDC's medium transmission threshold. There would still not be any in-person public attendance at the meetings until the low transmission standard is met. That would be more than 50% of eligible residents having been vaccinated and a less than 3% positivity rate. Currently, the YK Delta has a 3% positivity rate, and as of last week, 53% of the region's eligible population have received one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, and 44% of the eligible population have received two doses. The council also has an executive session scheduled for performance reviews for City Manager Pete Williams and City Attorney Libby Bacalar. Bacalar says she wants her evaluation to take place in open session to allow Bethel residents to get to know her and her work a bit better. This is KYUK News. I'm Olivia Eberts. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org. Stay tuned for News UGTUNE coming up.